Hi everyone, welcome to the first Sweetopia podcast. I'm your host Marion, and today I'll be talking about cookies, especially royal icing decorated cookies. With me today, I have a very special guest, the talented chef and author of Cookie Swap, creative treats to share throughout the year. And she's agreed to join me today for this very exciting interview. Inside the interview, we'll be talking about cookie decorating tips, photography tips, and creative cookie swap ideas for throughout the year, and more. You'll take away some new ideas and information to wow your friends, family, or clients with. Now, I'd like to give you a bit more background about my guest today. Talented pastry chef Julia is the director of the International Association of Culinary Professionals and the author of the beautiful new book, Cookie Swap. She's contributing editor at Dessert Professional and entertaining consultant, party producer, and prop stylist for St. Louis at Home magazine. Thank you, Julia, for coming here.
Thanks for having me, Marion.
I'm excited to get this going. It's my first podcast, so I'm just going to start right into it. Now, I know you're not supposed to be a judge or judge a book by its cover, but I have to say I only took one look at your book, and I knew that I wanted to buy it.
Yeah, it's
beautiful. I wasn't disappointed. Besides the photographs of beautiful cookies, Cookie Swap provides so many creative treat ideas that you can use throughout the year. How would you describe your book to someone who hasn't seen it?
Well, first of all, I would call it more of a party book than necessarily a recipe book. Let me back up by saying that the premise for Cookie Swap was really why wait for Christmas to do all of your cookie swapping, because cookies are a great excuse for bringing people together any time of year. There's so much richness and value in the sharing of recipes, the memories that go along with them, and the treats themselves, of course. So I find it a great way just to bring people together. So the book has 8 seasonal parties, starting with a Valentine's party on through to a traditional Christmas holiday cookie swap. In addition to recipes, it's also got ideas for invitations, take-home packaging, so pretty and clever ways to bundle up your pretty cookies, as well as all sorts of party favors. So it's really an idea book with recipes being at the core of it, but of course there being a lot of other stuff wrapped around it.
That sounds good. I was just wondering, you used to be an engineer. How did you get into cookie decorating?
Well, that's a terrifically long story. I don't know where you want to begin, but I guess the short answer is I grew up really hanging off the apron strings of my mom in the kitchen. She was a fantastic and still is from scratch cook. So she taught me at an early age the importance of making things from home, making things from the heart, and using the best quality ingredients. So, for instance, you know, all of our jams were made from scratch. We had berry bushes out in the backyard. So I was charged in the middle of August with going out, trundling out there in jeans and turtleneck to brave the brambles in August to get the berries that would go into the jams. Likewise, we had chickens and an extensive herb garden. So, you know, I was really out there collecting as well as in the kitchen with mom, and I really appreciated that. I worked for a short time, as an engineer, but for a long time in other businesses. I worked for a strategy consulting firm for about 10 years. So I had a slew of careers, mostly in the business and science realm, until I started my path in food, which was in my mid-30s. So I've only been in food for about 13 to 14 years. I think, you know, that it was always something that really was my passion, but I never really allowed myself to pursue it professionally. But I did reach a breaking point within the consulting career where I was just really working too long and too hard with not enough recognition and not enough joy. So I really rethought my life at that point and decided that I've got to find a way to fuse what it is I love to do, which was baking, with, you know, what it is I do professionally. So at that juncture, I went off to cooking school, kind of got grounded in the basics and built my confidence. And then shortly after that, some 6 months after graduating from cooking school, I started my own bakery. Mm-hmm. I did that for about 7 years. And then closed the business to focus on writing, which I've been doing on and off now for about 4 to 5 years. So,
and so
a long, convoluted past, but, you know, food has always been sort of at the core of what I've been about.
Mm-hmm. And we're so glad you did write books.
Thanks.
Oh, I am. I was going to say, do you have a favorite cookie in the book, or, you know, you have a passion for this? Are sugar cookies one of them? Decorated sugar cookies?
You know, it's really hard to answer that question because I really think different cookies are appropriate for different moods. You know, it's kind of like pairing of wines with food. I think certain cookies have a place at certain points in time. You know, when I'm in the mood for something really decadent, I love the brownie noser, which is called that because it's got brownie, caramel, and ganache, sort of all these things that are sure to butter anyone up. So I go for that decadent brownie. I really do love that one. It's relatively simple. It's also a bar cookie, which I think has the advantage of being really easy and insofar as you can stretch it a long way. You just throw everything in the pan, bake it, and then cut it as big or as small as you want, and you can get a terrific number of portions out of that particular recipe. You know, I am a huge fan of sugar cookies, but more so from the decorative sense. Decorative aspect of baking and pastry has always been something I've loved. I really love just, you know, my bakery was, I don't know if you know this, but my bakery was a wedding cake bakery, and we did elaborate wedding cakes, and it was the design work that really resonated with me most. So I'm drawn to sugar cookies mostly because they're a great blank palette, and they really have a lot of latitude in terms of what you can do with them decoratively. Using some very simple tools and a simple sugar cookie recipe and royal icing, the sky's really the limit. And that's one thing I do like to reinforce in my book and also when I'm out doing cookie decorating classes, is that you really don't have to have a lot of stuff or necessarily a ton of skill to do really fabulous sugar cookies. A lot of it's just in the consistency of the icing that you use. So
that's actually my next question. Did you have any tips on decorating cookies with royal icing?
Yeah, again, it's all consistency of the icing in my mind. In the book, I explore 11 different decorating techniques, most of which use royal icing, again, as a point, to make the point that a lot can be done with this basic medium.
Yeah.
But it really all comes down to the thickness of the icing. If you're trying to do a nicely perfect, I get this question a lot, like, how are your dots so rounded? Mine always have peaks on them. Well, that's a consistency issue. If your icing's too thick, it's going to leave a peak when you pick up your parchment pastry cone.
Right.
You know, whereas if it's loose enough, it'll break off and form a nicely rounded bead just due to the surface tension in the icing all by itself.
Mm-hmm.
Conversely, if you want a really thin line, really detailed, delicate work, the thicker the royal icing, the better. Royal icing, I should also say, is really my preferred medium for coating cookies because it's made with egg white as opposed to some other liquid such as cream or milk or juice that goes into a confectioner's icing. And it's the protein in the egg white that causes it to set up and gives it its fast drying properties. It also makes it pretty strong. It's got a high tensile strength, which means it's really stretchy.
Yeah.
So it allows you to do some kinds of work that really aren't possible with confectioner's icing. Mm-hmm. So, you know, as long as it's properly flavored, I think all icings need flavoring, and that one in particular to kind of cut the chalkiness of the egg white, then, you know, it's really incredibly versatile. So that, you know, getting the consistency right is probably my biggest tip. And in the book, what I do is I spell out pretty clearly some suggested starting points for consistency adjustments for each of the decorating techniques or for those that really require consistency adjustments.
Mm-hmm. Now, your cookies are beautiful. And another thing that I found really nice about your books is the photography. It's just stunning.
Thanks.
Yeah, I know that it says there that Steve Adams has done them.
Yes.
I was wondering, because you probably were part of the process with him, were you?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, I would tell you, I'm the other thing to know is I'm the food style. There are many, many people that are involved in the writing of a book.
Yeah.
That range from the acquisitions editor, the publisher, who's the one that purchases the concept. You know, then I'm passed off to an developmental editor that works with me through the writing process. Then there's a copy editor typically involved, a graphic designer. In this case, I was responsible for securing the photography for the book. And also I did all of the food styling in the book, which means I made every single cookie in the book and prepped, prop styled and set every single shot. So the photographer doesn't do the setting,
no.
The food styling typically. Usually that's either the author, as in my case, or a hired food stylist or prop stylist who would do all of that.
Mm-hmm.
Then the photographer swoops in, you know, and takes the shot. And I don't mean to diminish what the photographer does because there's a lot to the lighting.
Mm-hmm.
And also you want to choose a photographer who has a great eye and with whom you can work well.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, Steve brought all of that to the table and did a fantastic job. Really was a team effort, but
charming and it's just so pretty. You did an amazing job.
Thanks. Some is pulled from personal stuff, but a lot was secured from some very generous lenders who I acknowledge in the front of the book. And that was perhaps one of the bigger challenges of the book is that every single recipe in the book was shot and styled in some fashion, which is really atypical. You know, we had each chapter starts with a big party spread, and in that spread, every single cookie is shown, and then additionally, it's shown usually separately. There are only one or two cookies that weren't shot close range as well. So that meant there was a terrific amount of prop styling and coordination that went into these shots.
Would you be able to give a couple of tips to the average person trying to take some nice pictures of their cookies?
Yeah, well, you know, I can't give you photo tips because that's really not my area of expertise, you know, in terms of lighting and so on and so forth. But in terms of styling tips, you know, that's my forte, and I actually operate as a food stylist independently of food writing as well.
Right.
You know, what I would suggest is there are different schools of food styling thought, and I think there are more established and sort of entrenched sort of old school food stylists who rely a lot on tricks and fabricating fake food to make it look real. And that's really not what I'm all about. I mean, I came into food styling through the back door because I decorated lavish wedding cakes. So I really rely on the real product and making the real product look as best as possible. And I also believe, you know, that there's an honesty to the reader. So element of writing a book. I mean, you want to present the product as it could appear, you know, as it truly does appear. You don't want it to be something that's been doctored and photoshopped and so on and so forth.
Yep.
So what you see in the book is really true to the product. I mean, I'm a professional decorator, so it might look a little neater or more precise than what a beginning baker would do, but it is all actually constructed and real. So my tips there would be, because not every cookie is going to be perfect or whatever it is whatever food you're presenting is, to have a lot, you know, have a lot of stand-ins and have, you know, start by setting your shot with maybe not the hero, not what you think is your best choice, but get all the other elements aligned, you know, the plates and napkins and all the props, and then swap in the really, you know, the really primo hero cookie. In terms of prop styling, you really want to start in advance. I mean, for me, I need to, because it's really hard to visualize how all the elements are going to sit together if I'm scrambling at the last minute trying to procure props. So I'll start as far ahead as I possibly can and sort of scouting out what I want to accompany my particular item.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, most of the stuff is on loan. So it's, again, you really want to secure many options.
Yeah.
Because by the time you go to pick up the props, they may not always be available. You know, they might have been sold to somebody who wanted to buy it. So
yeah,
having options is key. Also, too, when things get under the camera, they will always look different than how they looked in your mind. And sometimes it's the prop that you least expected that's going to look best. And then final tips would be, two tips here. Don't be shy with your photographer. I mean, get in there and look through the camera. See how he's framed it out. You know, oftentimes it's all done digitally and the computer is tethered to the camera, so you can see real time what it looks like on a big screen. But if you don't have the luxury of the tethering and can't see it played back on a monitor, just get behind the viewfinder on the camera and see what he's taking. Because really, as the author of the book, you're the one that's accountable for the end product, if not the photographer. I had one other tip, and it's escaped me. Oh, yes. And then look at the photo. You know, you might think you've got the best shot possible, but look at it with an eye towards editing, because I think oftentimes it's really easy to overstyle. And I think that was a real challenge for me in having to show so many cookies at once, was what's the right balance of having them all in there? You know, just getting the shots balanced without looking cluttered, particularly the big opening shots, were a huge challenge because there was a lot going on in there and many, many purposeful focal points. So,
yeah.
So anyway,
one more quick question about lighting too. Did you find, was artificial lighting used or is daylight good?
It depended on what we were shooting. Oftentimes it depended what and where we were shooting, really. I mean, oftentimes, you know, especially in close range shots, controlled studio lighting is really better because you can eliminate shadows much more easily. We were shooting a lot a day as well. So, you know, we were trying to get 20 final finish shots a day, which is a huge number in commercial photography terms, where you might do one or two a day. So to have to mess with lighting, you know, to worry about shifting of sun and all that is really complicates the situation. We did have some outdoor shoots, so naturally that's what we relied on. And that creates a very different feel. I mean, it creates it, and I like it, you know, so it really depends what you're going for. In some cases, I wanted the shots to look really clean and modern and kind of stark almost, like in the Valentine's chapter.
Yeah.
So, you know, being in the studio there was really appropriate, whereas the summer chapter and the garden party chapter, I mean, it would be weird not to have those outside, and the natural lighting kind of gave you a sense of place that you wouldn't have necessarily had otherwise.
Mm-hmm. Now, would you be able to pick your favorite cookie from your book?
You know, as I said, it's a hard one for me to do. I think it depends on the mood and the circumstance, but I am quite a big fan of the brownie noser. Ones I also made on tour a lot just because of ease and deliciousness were that one, but also the brown sugar pecan shortbread.
Yeah.
And the chocolate drop cookie in the Valentine's chapter, the brandied cherry chocolate cookie, super easy and really decadent and really good. Generally a really huge crowd pleaser. So those would be my three top picks, I think.
Okay, I can't wait to try them. Do you have plans to write more books, may I ask?
Yeah, I do. Actually, I'm starting on one probably in the next week or so. The contract details are just being fine-tuned. I can't say too much about it before it releases, but it will be another cookie book and probably more in the spirit of decorating than actual baking of cookies. So really exploring the art and beauty of cookie decorating.
Oh, cool. That's my favorite part.
It should be good. I'm looking forward to it.
Yeah. I was just wondering, so I guess this, if you're getting ready for your next book, what is a day in the life of Julia Usher like nowadays?
Oh, gosh. Well, right now it's, I do a lot of other volunteer work besides my professional work. And I'm deeply involved with the International Association of Culinary Professionals, which for anybody out there who is a culinary professional, you ought to consider joining it. I sit on the board of directors there, but it's an amazing group, the world's biggest group of culinary professionals and cross-disciplinary at that. So there's a huge amount of learning that goes on from going to annual conference there and just interacting with the members on a daily basis. But I'm involved with the board, which means I have, so for instance, today I woke up, I checked email. after clearing out the box last night, I had about 100 sitting in there when I woke up. So
wow.
many of which were related to this group. So I spent a lot of time sort of managing process and committees there. Right now, since the book isn't started, I'm spending a lot of time planning. So I'm working through a detailed schedule. So what I'm going to be doing, a daily schedule actually between now and when the book is due, which is next March. So I basically have plotted out my next year.
Wow.
Day to day, when we're going to have all the shoot dates. And I'm working on writing the photo contract now for Steve, who will be shooting this book as well. But as an author and with the way my book deal is structured, I have to write the contract for the photographer and secure him as well. So it's all the logistics of that I'm working on right now.
Okay. Interesting.
Basically, you know, that my workload will, the typical day will look totally different in, you know, as soon as I start the book, I'll be in the kitchen most of the time. So usually I don't have a typical day. It really varies depending on where I am in the cycle of a project. I'll either be intensely in the kitchen testing and decorating,
mm-hmm.
or I'll be intensely at the computer writing or planning. Last year I was intensely on the road selling the book. I traveled, I visited about 100 bookstores and
wow.
cooking schools. This was a media tour that I set up all by myself. And, you know, on top of that, I did a number of media interviews and TV and things like that. So I was traveling from about August through December non-stop doing all of that, which was, I think pretty important to do as a first time author, just to see how the book was received and to really understand what it takes to get a book into distribution and to actually sell it. I mean, there are a lot of variables there. And I think the more educated you are as an author, the better job you're going to be able to do selling your book. And the unfortunate reality in these days with what's happening with the publishing industry is that a lot of the PR and marketing of a book really does fall to the author. So I'm not sure I would replicate such an extensive bricks and mortar tour next time, but it really taught me a lot on the first round through. So
mm-hmm.
to answer your question, the days look very different depending on where I am in the work process.
I guess so. Exciting though.
Yeah.
I noticed, back to your books, I was going to say, I noticed that you make the instructions really easy to follow, and you include a range of projects in terms of complexity.
Good.
What's that?
I said, I'm glad you found that easy to follow, because it's a challenge. I mean, some of the stuff looks really, really complicated, and some is, it does not, but, you know, the more complicated stuff, I really wanted to sketch it out in a way that even the beginner could tackle, you know, so
yeah.
it is relatively thoroughly scripted, I think, so.
No, yeah, I definitely think you have some which are easier maybe for beginners and some for those who've been maybe decorating cookies for a while, but do you have a target audience in mind when you're writing your books?
Yeah, I mean, you always consider that. I mean, I wanted this to have as broad appeal as possible,
yeah.
You know, which is why I, you know, obviously it's going to appeal to people that are bakers. You know, generally those are women. But, you know, I wanted it to apply to a broad range of skill levels from those that have done it a while and might be professional to those that are just beginning. So that is, you know, that's why you see pretty purposefully in the book the categorization of recipes from easy to complex. There's a little bit of something in there for everybody, I think.
I love that how you put the little on the side, you know, for beginners or maybe complexity, you rate it. That's a great idea.
Oh, thanks. Yeah. I thought it was important too, you know, just to zoom people in. But, you know, I view it as much as an idea book as anything else. And I mean, I do think there's probably a segment of people out there that just buy it because it's kind of, it's pretty and it's an idea book. And intend to make a cookie out of it. Maybe they hand it off to a caterer who makes the cookie too, you know, who makes the cookie or tries to pull together the party. You know, that, I see it being used that way too.
Yeah.
As much as it's being used by avid bakers. So.
Oh, for sure. I was definitely falling in that category. I probably bought it because it was just so beautiful, your decorated cookies. And I have to admit, I probably do buy any cookie book out there. But anyways, I'd like to thank you so much for doing this interview. Before we wrap things up, I'd also like to thank the listener for listening to this very informative interview with Julia Usher, author of Cookie Swap. And I'd also like to thank Julia again for the time that you made available for this.
Yeah, thank you. It's a pleasure.
Remember to check out Julia's website at juliausher.com for more information on Julia and how to get in touch with her. If you're interested in more information on decorating cookies with royal icing, please visit the cookie decorating tutorial in the tutorial section of sweetopia.net as well. And be sure to check out the giveaway for an autographed copy of Cookie Swap coming soon. Thanks again, Julia.
Thank you. Have a great day.
You too. Bye.